Catherine, some people are saying, hey, what's wrong with this stuff? Maybe it'll help society. How do you answer that?
Well, you know, onto the marketing topic we were talking about, let me give you a couple of examples of what has already been done with this technology. I was saying Sprint and Texas Instruments have both developed a loyalty card application where your little frequent shopper card, the one you carry to get the supposed discounts at the supermarket, would actually contain an RFID tag inside of it. So it would have a tiny computer chip with a unique number linked up to you, and it would have an antenna that would enable people to read it from a distance. Well, the idea of how they want to use this is actually as you enter the store, they'll be able to identify whether you're, you know, pretty much which kind of shopper you are. You're the high roller shopper that they want to keep an eye on and train all of their surveillance equipment on, including floor sensors and heat trackers and all sorts of things that we've uncovered, listening devices, fake shoppers who walk up to you and pretend to be grocery shoppers when they're really market research people, recording your responses. Are you that kind of person that they want to turn their surveillance arsenal on, or are you one of the low-profit shoppers that they want to discourage from shopping at the store altogether? And in either case, it's not a pleasant scene for us as consumers. You know, IBM has developed something they call the Margaret Program. It's named because the guy who developed it, either his mother or his mother-in-law's name is Margaret. And she was upset because the bank teller didn't recognize her and the high value of her account. So he developed an application for the RFID tag to be slipped into a consumer's savings passbook, their checkbook, or their ATM card, which would be read by the bank by a hidden device in the floor or in the doorway. It would identify who they were, and it would send a message to a PDA or a cell phone owned by bank employees so that they would know the value of your account, your name, and everything else about you the minute you walk through the door. Even if you were just coming in to use the restroom, they would know this about you. So it's quite worrisome to think that this could happen. Now, one of the things that you hope when you hear about things like this is, well, gosh, they'd at least tell us, wouldn't they? And what I discovered, I actually went to see the RFID industry's flagship store in all the world. They have one store called the Future Store, where they are, according to them, demonstrating the future of what RFID will look like in the store.
Is it neat?
Well, I flew out there to Rheinberg, Germany, and walked into the store, which I thought was actually pretty, it was pretty middle of the road. You couldn't really tell it was all fancy. They did have the grocery carts with the little computer things you can put on the front, mm-hmm. little consoles, which I actually find to be kind of a pain. I don't need a map to know where the bread is. I can find it on my own. But they did have that unbeknownst to shoppers. That was also tracking their movements, their location, recording all of that information, just as we mentioned before the break. But the most worrisome piece of this is that they had put unique RFID tags on the products in the store. So as you picked up a bottle of Pantene shampoo or a package of Mach 3 razor blades or a package of Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese, on each of those was an RFID tag that could actually beam what it is at a distance. Now, they told shoppers that they would deactivate those at the checkout. What I discovered, though, when I actually asked them to demonstrate that, is that they actually did not deactivate them. We called it sort of the undead machine, the tags that would not die. They claimed to have deactivated the tags, but in reality, the most important part of the tag, and that's the unique ID number, which we'll get to and why that's so important, that part was left live on the tag.
On
so
purpose, right?
Yeah, well, essentially, they had been boasting that they had the very first tag killer technology in any store. It turns out, though, that technically they weren't able to kill the tag. So it actually wasn't possible, and they were misleading people by saying that they could. But it gets worse, George, because I left the store, and I went to dinner with some privacy activist friends in Germany. And after dinner, we said to ourselves, you know, we should go back to that store because I forgot to get one of their shopper cards. You know, I've been collecting these for years from all around the world.
Right.
So I go back, and it's pouring down the rain, and we let one of the girls run in to grab one. And 20 minutes go by, and she hasn't come back out. Did she get lost in there? Did they tie her up? What happened? So we sent somebody else in after her. And it turns out that they were arguing because they didn't want to give it to her.
Why?
Well, that's strange. I mean, you know, 22 million people carry this card. It's called the Payback Loyalty Card. 22 million people carry it. Why wouldn't they give it to us? So finally, they managed to get a handful of them. And, you know, I didn't think much more about it until the following day. I'm giving a privacy talk, of all places, in a World War II underground Nazi bunker. talk about how life takes you strange places. So I'm in this underground bunker, which has been converted into a coffee shop, and I'm giving a talk about privacy to a German audience of all just crazy places to be. And we have the we have an RFID reader hooked up to the PowerPoint overhead presentation, and we're beaming this up on a wall. And I hold up the Pantene shampoo and the Moxie razor blades, and each one I hold up, and of course a number, a unique number, appears on the wall behind me. And somebody, as a joke, pulls out one of those loyalty cards and holds it up to the reader. And I about fell out of my seat when a unique number popped up on the wall. And what had turned out was that the Metro Future store, this is the flagship store for the Walmarts and the Procter & Gambles and the Gillettes and the Nestle's and the Kraft's and all these companies, their flagship store had hidden RFID tags in the loyalty card to test out this application and had not told a soul. So potentially, millions of people could be walking around being tracked at a distance of about 5.5 to 6 feet, which is how long these things could be read, could be identified in every doorway they walked through, every subway they got on, every place they went, potentially. And they were not told that this was happening. Now, this is what makes this technology so scary. It is invisible for all intents and purposes. The only way we were able to actually verify and prove to the rest of the world that we'd found this tag in there was we x-rayed it. And we have a picture of that up on our website at spychips.com. We call the RFID tags the spy chips. That's a term we coined. If you go to spychips.com, you can actually see in the menu on the left, there's a link to my tour of the Metro store. And you can also see pictures of some of the protesters who turned out in Germany to protest against this technology. We're hoping to see similar things happening here in the States.